And a good afternoon to you. Thank you for being on board. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope you're planning on being in the house of the Lord tonight. We appreciate the goodness of God. Glad the rain got out of here, like a good bit of rain last night, but 0.18, so almost 2 inches, but it fell in pretty rapid succession there since yesterday afternoon about this time. So if it kept that up, we'd really had some high water. We are glad to have you with us, and we're grateful for the Lord's mercy here this afternoon on the March the 9th. Well, let's see if we can get you. First of all, I'd love to hear from you this afternoon. 577-1296, 577-1296. And I'm going to do several of these, and I'm going to do a little poll, okay? So I'm polling you, all right? And let me do it this way. I'm going to do it. Of all the Share-a-thon messages, which of the Share-a-thon messages helped you most? Okay. Which Share-a-thon message was your favorite? All right. So that's nothing down against anyone. Just different messages speak to different people. I mean, that's just the way that's why God designed us. So what was your favorite message? If you want to text us, 577-1296. If you want to call us, 884-9427, either of those will work, and we'll be glad to hear from you this afternoon. Again, 577-1296, 828-577-1296, or you can call. If you don't text, you can call at 828-884-9427. We appreciate you being with us. Let's quickly look at some traffic. You know, it's really good today. Not a whole lot of issues anywhere that I can see in the western North Carolina area. In the Gorge, we've got it's a little bit of wait. It's a quarter of a mile or so where it's slow going through the two-lane section, but in the construction. But other than that, not bad, not bad. And if you're in Brevard today, Asheville Highway is the lanes offset down around, you know, before you get to the credit union where they're putting in a new roundabout. Yeah. And so watch that. Watch that carefully because that offsets. And so you got to pay attention to what you're doing as you go through there with the barrels. That's why they paved all that, so they could move it around as they needed to for construction. Okay. And so again, 577-1296, if you want to text us and tell us your favorite message of Share-a-thon. 21 messages altogether. Tell us which one yours was, and I'll try to get to your response here in just a little bit, okay? All right. Well, again, we're grateful to the Lord for the good day and appreciate God's blessing here at Anchor Broadcasting. And come on now. Keep trying to zoom in on my radar, and it keeps running from me, and I don't know why. Okay, let's see if I can get it to... Here we go. All right. Sometimes these things work, and sometimes they don't. All right now we are showing 50 degrees, or at least this was 50 degrees at 5 o'clock at Asheville Airport. It was 6 minutes till, to be exact. But the interesting part is there's a north-northwest wind at 21 mile an hour, gusting to 26, which brings the feel-like temperature down to 43. Yeah, that's why it feels as cold as it does. So it feels colder than it is. We're at 47.6 here at the studio. And then when I slide down the mountain and look at the airport in Spartanburg, they are showing, looks like, about 61 degrees. And interesting, their wind's out of the southwest. So, yeah, different. And we're getting in something that they're not. So 11 degrees differential between the two airports and about 14 degrees between here and Greenville. So that's a pretty good spread. And you're going to see some colder air on the way. It is. There's quite a bit of cold air behind this little front that came through with the rain. And you're going to see a return to something that feels a lot like winter. And it's going to, especially for the weekend, it's going to be downright cold. Yeah. We're looking at tonight, 40 degrees for the low. So it won't go too much lower. Thursday, 52, slight chance of rain. Thursday night, 39. Friday, 60. Here's where it gets interesting. Friday night is 90% chance of showers, a low of 35. And then Saturday, they can't make up their mind, but we do have a pretty good chance of precipitation in the morning. It decreases by the afternoon, 60% dropping to 20%. And then they're saying, this is what they're saying, rain, snow likely, then slight chance of rain, snow, and breezy. But the key is the high on Saturday is only 38 degrees. So it's going to feel like winter. And then it's definitely going to feel like winter Saturday night, the low of 15. A lot of things will freeze that have not up till now. And yeah, it's going to be cold. But we're over it by Sunday, 50 degrees. Yep, and we're back in business. And so far, next week looks pretty good. Don't see a lot of precipitation. And a return to near normal temperatures for the mid-March from looking at the long range. The listeners' portion today of the operating budget, we appreciate very much those that have stood with us through the years and continue to do so on the March the 9th. The general operating budget of Anchor Broadcasting being sponsored by James Gillespie. It's in memory of his wife, Dorothy, who went home to be with the Lord on the 10th of March, 2011. And we salute the memory of Miss Dorothy Gillespie and thank Brother James for standing with us here. The network budget is being sponsored by Josh Blanton, and it's in honor of his wife, Natalie. And boy, we appreciate that. And the Blantons, of course, they were here for Share-a-thon, and a lot of people would know, probably know Natalie better as Natalie Raines. Yeah, Natalie Raines Blanton, and I think that probably lets folk know who I'm talking about, of the Raines family, and of NatalieRainesMusic.com. Birthdays today are on Miss Edna Austin. Special happy birthday going out to Miss Edna, and also Judy Clark having a birthday today, and congratulations from her family. I mentioned that we had, we had 1.83 inches of rain out of that rain from yesterday afternoon till this morning. We appreciate folks listening this afternoon. We're glad to have folks from all over the country that have tuned in. We're glad to have you with us. I'm going to go by region today. We'll just go states. And we welcome Alabama, Alaska, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, the country of Germany, Minnesota, Nebraska, New York, North Carolina, the country of Canada, the province of Ontario. We also welcome this afternoon Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Texas. Europe is with us, the United Kingdom. Honduras is on board, and the state of Wisconsin all with us today. And we're glad to have all of you. Thank you so much for being with us. Again, here is the poll question we're asking, and I'll get to this coming up in a little bit. I also got some pledges to read. Your favorite message. If you can remember the name of it, fine. If you can't, just tell us who preached it. And if you got one of the preachers who was here daily, tell us what day it was. I might have it in my notes. I can look it up anyway. So what's your favorite preacher? Who preached your favorite message? That's the best way to do it. The favorite message from Share-a-thon 2021. And by the way, there are no wrong answers, okay? No, we're glad to hear from you this afternoon. And if I push the mic correctly, and I think that I got the right one, I've got a special guest in with me this afternoon, and we appreciate her being with us. And she is actually part of my, what I call my medical advisors, and doesn't live in this area, but to just for liability purposes and to protect her anonymity, we're just gonna welcome her this afternoon. And I will tell you this, that she is not only a registered nurse, but she's a nursing supervisor that has 72 registered nurses under her supervision. And so we're glad to have her this afternoon. And I just wanted to ask some simple questions, and I haven't had time to ask them off of mic. And so we're going to ask them on mic this afternoon. And so thank you very much for being with us. And I just want to ask a couple of things. Are you seeing a decline in COVID cases? in the hospital.
Yes, we've seen a definite decline in COVID cases inside the hospital over the last few months.
Okay. When did the decline start? I know you were covered up first of the year.
Yeah, it stopped right after Valentine's Day, oddly enough. So it started slowing down to where we have probably less than 10 right now in ICU.
Okay, and give us something to benchmark that against. How many would at your peak? How many would you have had?
We had at our peak 42.
42 in ICU. Mm-hmm. Okay, and people, if you mention COVID, people are mad. So I've already got people mad just because I said COVID, and so people are mad. But I'm fact finding. I'm after facts. I'm not interested in rhetoric. I'm not interested in political. All the mess. I'm just not interested in it. I'm interested in the facts. Okay. So of those that you had, let's say at the peak, of those that you had in ICU, how many of those end up being on respirators?
Usually about 33% to 40%.
Okay. So 33% to 40% required the respirators.
Right.
Okay.
And that's a last ditch effort. Like, in the hospital, we do everything that we can to keep you off the ventilator.
Okay. And because by the time they get to that point, the prognosis is not good for recovery, right?
It's very bad.
Something that we were seeing, and we're tracking several people, we had a death related to our church. Young lady died. And she had been on a ventilator, and they tried weaning her off, went to the trach, and then they tried weaning her off that, and then things began to collapse, and she did not survive. But we've got a young man who went at about the same time, related to the church, and he's doing better, but he stood up for the first time. And you don't think about someone on a ventilator being kept out, their muscles experience atrophy. They have to be taught to walk, and kind of take us through that. I mean, when somebody, whether it's in a serious accident or whatever, and they're either unconscious or they're immobile for long periods of time, what happens?
So you actually lose actual muscle function pretty rapidly whenever you're on a ventilator in general. And what we've seen is people with COVID actually lose it a little faster. So, but
any idea why?
They think it just has to do with the spike protein, actually.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
They think that it attacks the muscle, which whenever you take a step back and look at it, it kind of makes sense because of like the cardiogenic, you know, attacks the heart muscle as well. So you see that.
We've seen that many times.
Right.
We know that a lot of people their hearts have been attacked by the spike protein. And and so it is a long road back, isn't it?
It is a long road back. And we actually, they've came up with a new diagnosis, and they haven't quite gave it a formal name, but we call them the COVID long haulers.
Right.
So these are the people that we've gotten them off the vent. They're recovering. Usually we send them to a SNF unit, which is a skilled nursing facility, to where they can get rehab. And you can think about that like you do stroke. So, and it's not something where they're going to be in there for 5 days or a week. We're talking, it's going to take them months to get them rehabilitated to where hopefully they'll be back at their pre-COVID function.
A friend of mine in South America was on a vent for a long time. I don't know exactly what happened, but anyway, his bowel went to sleep or something happened. He had to go on a colostomy. He has just now, it's been a year, he is just now, and he's still weak, but he's now fully functional again.
Right.
But it took a year.
Right.
And they were applauding his progress.
Yeah, I mean, that in and of itself is a miracle. In reality, in the medical field at this point, whenever we can get you off the ventilator and you get to leave the hospital, we consider you to be a miracle.
Wow.
So.
It's that bad.
It's that bad. Yes, sir.
Well, people are not going to like the answer, no matter which way I ask it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. of the people that came in and were in ICU, that were hospitalized, that were in intensive care, did your system, your hospital system that you work with, did they do census concerning vaccinated versus non-vaccinated? Did they keep up with that?
They did.
Okay, can you tell us, and this is not, again, published by the Republican Party nor the Democrat Party.
Correct.
This is what happened.
Right.
Okay, this is what happened. This is actual experience. Okay, so, and it's, again, from a cross-section of people in a different part of the country than where we live. What happened?
So at our facility, less than 5% were vaccinated and died. And we counted them, just to give you a little bit of a reasoning behind that. We also counted that if we still counted them as being vaccinated, if they had cancer, got COVID, and still died. So no matter what that other factor was with COVID, if they were vaccinated, they counted on the vaccinated side. So there was no skewing of those numbers. So we didn't take them out if they had cancer.
An underlying.
Right.
So they may have died anyway. You're saying they may have died anyway? Is that...
We lost two people that I know of that had end-stage cancer, like stage 4 cancer.
But so, they counted against the number of people that were vaccinated that died.
Correct.
So let me get that again. So let's do it the other way.
Okay.
How many people... So of the people who came in, 95%, is that what you're saying? 95% of the people who came into the intensive care unit were unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. And of the people who died in the ICU, 5% were vaccinated.
Correct.
But that number included at least two people that had terminal cancer.
Correct.
So that did add to the number.
Correct.
Or other underlying issues, they would have died anyway. Interesting. Okay. Did you see in the ICU people that got the shot and had the reaction? Did you have people in ICU that were in ICU because they had reaction to the shot?
So we did see one, yes.
One?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Just one?
Yes, sir.
And I think you and I have talked about this remotely,
mm-hmm.
but there is a segment of the population that react to the spike protein.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter whether you got it through a shot or whether you got it through catching COVID. Your body, can you explain that process, what happens, those people that react to the spike protein?
So we call it the storm. And so what it does is you just react. You have a hyper reaction to
good
the protein.
To express it, yeah.
So whereas, you know, we might get the fever, get the nausea, vomiting, you know, have the cough, they actually overreact. So their body attacks it at such a level that it hyperstimulates everything. So it's actually their body that's making them sick.
Could I liken it unto a autoimmune disorder?
I mean, that's what they think the basis is. So yes, you could.
It's like swatting a fly with a sledgehammer?
Yes, or maybe even a piece of dynamite.
That bad?
Yeah.
What's that phrase, the storm? There's a phrase in front of it. What's it called? What is
it's it? Hang on just a second. I had it in my brain before we started talking about the fly swatter.
Not kitakin.
No, it's a...
something. Anyway.
Kinesic storm.
Kinesic. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or kinesic storm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so there are people, but let me ask you this. From a medical standpoint, medical science, if a person who had a vaccination and it created that storm in their body, would the same result have been if they had contracted COVID?
So the reasoning is, I would say probably greater than 85%, yes, because they're reacting to just the introduction of the protein. And we see it sometimes with, for those of you guys who have had people react outside of COVID If you think about people who have gotten septic or people who have gotten a cut and then had the same kind of reaction. So it truly acts like it's autoimmune.
The body attacks itself.
Yes, the body is truly attacking itself.
I read after one doctor in New York, and he said that the body was actually going in and killing the stem cell mm-hmm. layer, which is obviously what heals us. That creates the new lung cell.
Yes.
And once the stem cell is killed,
yeah, you have nothing left.
There's nothing there, mm-hmm. right? Did those people ever? I mean, did it form a scar, or did it form nothing? Would just stay sore? I mean, what happened with that? I don't understand. I never did follow that next step. They didn't say what happened.
So usually people who get the storms, they don't survive.
Okay.
Whether it's from COVID or if they get a storm and a reaction to another virus or another disease process, they usually do not survive. And if they do, of course, we consider them to be a miracle. But usually they have, if it was introduced in their lungs, then they have like permanent scarring in their lungs.
Right. And then reduced capacity because yes. of that, if it ever healed.
Correct.
Because I heard them say this, it ate their lungs up. Mm-hmm. That's what it said. It ate their lungs up. Now, I'm going to chase that just a little bit, as gross as this sounds, because if I understand, and I don't always understand what I read, and I don't always understand what I hear, but the COVID virus would enter a cell, the host cell. It would multiply until the cell burst, and then it would go into the cells beside of it.
Correct.
And it would keep doing that and keep bursting the cells.
Correct.
So think of that now in relationship to your lungs. It's a pneumonia, but it's a different type of pneumonia. In other words, it's a pneumonia that the cells that take the blood, the transfer of the blood and the oxygen, those cells are exploding inside your lungs. It's actually exploding those cells, for lack of a better word, and that's where the sore, the infection, the pneumonia comes from. Is that
correct? Yeah, because in regular pneumonia, it's of course, you know, it's fluid filled.
Right.
But what you actually have is you actually have complete damage of that cell with COVID. And then the fluid or the waste products is what collects in the bottom of the lung. But it's already destroyed that piece of the lung.
Well.
So.
And that's why it was so difficult to do anything yeah. with. And because it's a virus and not a bacteria, mm-hmm. then you're limited to the antiviral spectrum of medications, correct?
Correct. And then we try to cover... We tried to cover on the backside, of course, any bacterial infections that would set in with antibiotics.
Well, and some believed in that. Some believed in that. Some didn't.
I know.
Because I know bunches of people that have had a worse time with the bacterial infection that followed COVID than they did with COVID.
Right.
But doctors did nothing to try to prevent that. They prescribed nothing. They waited till they got sick, and now people can't get over it because they have been sick and sick and sick and sick and sick.
Yes. And also keep in mind that inpatient versus clinical world is what it seems to be that you were speaking to in that piece with the antibiotics.
Whereas you're in the hospital.
Yeah, we're actually in the hospital. So by the time you see us, you are sick.
But y'all did administer antibiotics.
We did.
Any one in particular that you used, just out of curiosity?
Well, Vanc, of course, and Cefta.
Okay.
So those are always good, Zosyn.
Okay. So. Again, going to make people mad, but let's go ahead and talk about it. Did you see anyone, or did your hospital system believe in ivermectin?
So we got people in who had used it.
You did not use it?
No.
Okay. What about hydroxychloroquine?
No. We got a couple people in who used it, but we did not actually administer it.
In your medical opinion, do you understand why people turn to those drugs?
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. What would hydroxychloroquine, what would it do for you? What would be the benefit of that?
So I think I actually sent you one day that exact reasoning behind that, but it actually helps attack that spike protein. So
the hydrochloroquine does? Mm-hmm.
It breaks down the outer, like the outer membrane of the spike protein.
And so that's why it was effective.
Right.
Malaria is a virus.
Right.
And hydrochloroquine is an antiviral. Mm-hmm. Antiviral used for malaria. It's very common in the third world.
Right.
Anytime I'm going to the tropics, I get my malaria
right.
pills.
Mm-hmm.
You just start taking them. It's
Correct.
Just a normal part of going to the tropics.
Correct.
And it doesn't seem to hurt me. I haven't turned green yet.
Right.
So.
Well, there should be a certain dose that you're taking, I'm hoping, and not just.
Well, they give it to you. You go,
right.
But the thing, the difference is in the third world, you don't go to the doctor, you go to the pharmacist.
Correct.
And the pharmacist diagnoses what you need and when you need it.
Correct.
And you get it directly from him mm-hmm. without a prescription. Quite different than here.
Yes.
You get antibiotics that way. You get many things without a prescription in most of the third world. But in our civilized country, if they catch you even taking it through the mail, you can go to jail. Even trying to mail your loved ones hydrochloroquine or ivermectin or whatever. So let's just chase the ivermectin for a second, okay? Ivermectin received a Nobel Award in what, 2015? As being what? What was the benefit for it?
That was due to malaria. So
it was
the research for malaria and how much it had actually saved people in the third world countries.
So again, very common.
Mm-hmm.
It's known around here because we use it. Matter of fact, day before yesterday, wormed a donkey.
Right.
With ivermectin.
Mm-hmm.
Ivermectin paste. We can get it again.
Oh, good.
Everybody's been buying it. You couldn't get it at Tractor mm-hmm. Supply because all the people were getting it.
Right.
And they were even buying the one that you put on the hide, on your skin. They were even buying it. So it left a purple streak. So you can tell when you've marked your sheep or marked your goats.
Right.
So somebody said, you'll know the next election who's who. One group's going to have yellow streaks down their back, and the conservatives are going to have purple streaks down theirs for use to ivermectin. So, but you did see some people overdose on ivermectin?
Yeah, we did.
Did it kill them?
No.
Just made them sick?
Yeah, it gives you some really bad GI issues. So
stomach things.
Mm-hmm.
But ivermectin is typically dosed in animals. We dose it by weight.
Correct.
So people were taking a horse dose. Is that what happened?
That seems to be what happened in the instances that we had actually seen, is that they were taking the dose that was on there and
given for a horse.
Correct.
Or for a cow.
Yeah.
Or for a goat. But even then, mine are always mm-hmm. by the pound. You have to know how much your animal weighs. Like a syringe that's full of paste goes up to 1,250 pounds.
Right. And so I'll give you a direct quote from someone who took it. I didn't think it'd hurt me to take more, and it might actually help me.
Oh, so if a mm-hmm. little is good, a whole lot must be great.
Yes.
That's not true with laxative.
No, it's not true with medicine in general, just period. It's not true with medicine in general.
Well,
a whole lot can hurt you.
A lot of aspirin, a lot of Advil
mm-hmm.
on your kidneys,
right?
A lot of Tylenol mm-hmm. on your liver. Yeah, no, it don't work that way. There's a point of no return. There's a point
Correct.
Of, yeah. So, yeah, you can up the dosage to a point, but after that it becomes, there's toxicity, is that correct?
Correct.
The right word? From too much acetaminophen. Okay, so, all right. But there's several quick questions that I'm trying to ask, and there's a bunch of people that are wanting to get involved, I know.
Okay.
And I appreciate everybody that are asking questions. But in your studies, you didn't see anybody die from ivermectin.
No, we didn't.
You didn't see anybody die from hydrochloroquine.
No, we did not.
Okay. All right. Well, there is rumor of another one coming. We know BA2. We know about it. doesn't seem to be real rampant. We heard about it, but it doesn't seem to be. But then I read a piece early this morning that said this is just the honeymoon. We're just, this is the calm before the storm. There's another one coming. Have you heard that?
Yes, we have.
Can you give us any ideas what it looks like or what they're going to call it? Has it been named yet?
I do not think it's been named yet, but we anticipate what we have seen is it's very secular. So we've seen it coming around at about every 6 months, 5 to 6 months. And if you think and look back, you'll see the same trend. So we anticipate our next true surge to be June, July.
So y'all are gearing up for that? You're resupplying? So you're not saying, phew, this is over?
No. We wish we could.
Your hospital system is not saying this is over. Your hospital system is saying, okay, let's take a break, get our breath, and let's restock.
Yes.
And get ready for the next one.
Yes, sir.
I wish you hadn't said that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay. In your year, how many years do you have? How many years of experience do you have?
15.
In your years of experience, have you ever seen anything like this that had so many different peculiarities? Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, sir.
Something that presented in so many different people, different ways as this did?
No, sir.
Have you ever seen anything this hard to treat that one treatment fits all?
No, sir.
Have you ever seen a disease with this much politics attached to it?
Definitely not. Yeah. Definitely not.
And that's been my purpose that the whole time I've talked about this. Mm-hmm. And I started talking about it before it actually hit us. And I've tried to just, with comprehensive information, mm-hmm. not trying to tell people how to think, trying to give them information to think
right.
about.
And I'll be honest with you, since you actually said that, I have some nurses who lived through the AIDS crisis back in the 80s. And one of them made the comment during election last year that COVID was so much more political, and they didn't think anything would ever be more political than HIV and AIDS was.
Yeah, people ran on it in their platforms.
Yeah. Yeah. But she literally said that AIDS and HIV did not hold a flashlight, a spotlight, anything compared to what COVID did.
Well, it got a sitting president removed.
Yes, sir.
Supposedly. And he was going by his top advisors who were playing politics the whole time. And we later know that, but who were playing politics. The since you're speaking under the terms of anonymity, just an opinion, you don't have to answer it. Naturally occurring or man-made?
I think it depends on your risk factors, honestly. And I'll say that, and I will give you this example. I have asthma. And I also have a immunocompromised mother that lives with me, and the same thing, another family member who lives with me who's the same. So I chose to take it. I think if you are healthy, the people that you hang out with are healthy, and the people that you love are healthy, then I could see why you would not want to take the vaccine. But I'm also assuming that you probably don't get your DTaP or your MMR or your flu.
Gotcha. And there are segments who don't get vaccines.
Right.
And, you know, there was talk in one state about everybody going to have it. And then they were given all these restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, now the Amish, they're going to have to get it. Well, no, wait a minute. The Amish have never gotten a vaccine in history, okay,
correct.
Ever.
Correct.
And they have a religious exemption.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, it don't matter. It don't matter. And that's when I bowed up and I said, whoa, it does matter.
Mm-hmm.
It very much does matter. And so And there are people who have been exempt from getting vaccines because of their religious rejection.
Correct.
So, but typically it's because, in other words, you have objected to more than just this one.
Correct.
You've objected to multiple things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that's typically the basic.
Correct.
Some have been exempt just on this basis, the way it was written. But for the most part, you know, if your denomination, your whatever it is, preaches against vaccinations, then
correct.
That group has kind of been exempt, right?
Correct.
And you saw that too?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Among your nurses, how many took it?
All but three.
Okay. What was the penalty in your system?
So the penalty has not been decided yet. We do not foresee you actually losing a job.
Okay.
It looks more like we're going to move you to a non-inpatient area, to non-IC patients everyday area.
Okay. So a relocation as opposed to firing somebody.
Correct.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, that's what those are my primary questions. I appreciate our time's coming and going. I appreciate so much you being in the area. I appreciate you stopping in. We had all of 30 seconds to plan this.
Yes.
And you've done very
I was very surprised.
And you've done very well on your radio debut, by the
thank
way.
Thank you.
Okay. And again, thank you. And we pray for you and your 72 nurses and your whole hospital system and your part of the country.
Thank you so much.
God
we definitely
you.
Need it.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, again, not going to respond to argue. That's not the point. I was wanting to give you an opinion. And so there you have it, whether you agree with it or not. All right. So let's go now and let's do our quick survey here. And wanted to share with you. Okay. So here's what the text line is showing me. What's your favorite message of Share-a-thon? And Mary says, Ricky Lee blessed me so much. Both Hands, Getting In With Both Hands by Brian McBride. Miss Robin says, hard to choose, but either Doug Raines, When God Says No, or Jimbo Seaton, Before the Day Was. But all the messages on the cross by Brother Rudy were just powerful. 3663 says, Pastor Scott Dean and the bit about the castor oil. Enjoyed all the preaching and live music. Let's see here. 0580 says, Scott Dean and Doug Raines. Amen. Robert says, Tony Finney, right in their own eyes. Also, Brian McBride, The Grace in Ruth on Sunday night. 7804, Ben Carper said, loved his knowledge. Jerry says, Doug Raines, When God Says No, Jimbo Seaton, Before the Day Was, and said, no better service than what Brother McBride preached Friday. Yeah, well, he didn't preach, so there you go. 8807 says, Todd Bell, Go Forward. 8089 says, Ricky Lee East, Christ Receiveth Sinful Men, and Ben Carper's The Last Days. Levi says, I don't know that I had a favorite message, but Todd Bell sticks out as being challenging. Joanna says, let me change gears here. I don't see it. So let me right here. All right. And 0770 says the best singing ever. And I appreciate that. Thank you so much. God bless you. And we appreciate a lot of folks. And good to see Gary and Mary and Linda and Joyce and Kathy and Cricket and Ruby and Ann and a bunch of others. Okay. And thank you so much. All right. Appreciate very much you being with us here this afternoon. Let me share with you again some pledges, and I've got time to do that here right quickly. Yesterday we ended, and so today all I have is transmitter. And yesterday we ended with $126,569 And so here is a pledge for $780. It's from the Yellow Mountain Baptist Church in Cullowhee. And man, we appreciate that so much. And we want to play if we can. And I believe I've got it set here to go for the 127th time. Our God is able.
Our God is able, ready and willing. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and he wants to open the windows of heaven. He's just looking for a need to fill.
And Sarah Mathis, a $100 gift to the transmitter. God bless you. Thank you so much. Morris Finch of Arden, a $100 gift. Thank you. Appreciate that. Gene Young of Pisgah Forest, a $100 gift. God bless you. Thank you. And let me see, make sure I didn't cross one here. I didn't. Okay. All right. I'm caught up. And then the Thornhills from Brevard, Wilma and Michael. Appreciate a $150 gift toward the transmitter. Thank you. And the Crab Creek Baptist Church on Jeter Mountain Road, off Crab Creek Road in Hendersonville, a $500 contribution. Thank you so much. And that's going to take us over another plateau, $128,299. To God be the glory.
He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and he wants to open the windows of heaven. He's just looking for a need to fill.
Also, the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Mills River, a $1,000 gift. God bless you. That brings us to the ending total for the day, $129,299.
Our God is able, ready and willing. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and he wants to open the windows of heaven. He's just looking for a need to fill.
And that brings us down to the need left, $45,701. And that's for a new transmitter. Our backup transmitter burn up. And so we have nothing. We have no secondary. And because of that, we're concerned. If something happens, we can't get parts. We're trying to order Sennheiser mics today. Sennheiser has stopped taking orders. They said that they will fill what they has been ordered. It will be delayed, but they will not take any new orders. Yeah, that's what they said. No new orders this year. They're that far behind. And all of the mic companies are telling us the same thing, the very same thing, because if you can't get a Sennheiser, then they go to Audio-Technica, and then they go down the line, and all of them are running the same way. So, and, of course, a lot of that stuff's built overseas. So there you go. But I can tell you this. We'll read the church list later in the week. I've been waiting for it to make sure we get it full and make sure everybody gets in. And Friday will be our last day. We'll be acknowledging the gifts. But as of today, we have 100 churches. And so to God be the glory. Thank you. So for that, God bless you. Appreciate it very, very much. And again, appreciate what the Lord has done. And the Lord did it. You know that, don't you? Of course you do. Of course you know the Lord did it. Somebody's asking, preacher, what would you do about the gas crisis? What do we do, preacher? What do we do? Well, if you want to know what the best thing to do to combat it, if that's what you're asking, the best thing to do to combat the gas crisis is don't buy it. And somebody said, we got to buy it. Well, we do, but if we curtail how much we buy, meaning we don't go as much. If we got a big car and a little car, you drive the little car. If we will cut our usage, it will automatically flood the market, just like it did during COVID. And when it floods the market, gas will get cheap again. So the only thing that I know that you and I can do, you can vote in the election for someone who will restore energy independence to this country. You can do that and not be negotiating with communist countries to buy their oil. Instead, drill our own. Not only to be energy independent, but an energy exporter, a net exporter of hydrocarbon fuel. We were 16, 18 months ago. We were. We're not now, but we were. And it happened in 4 short years. It can happen again, but somebody's going to have to go to the ballot box, and they're going to have to get over themselves. And they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to get mad about this. And so, you know, I hate it. I hate it's this way. I hate that we're going through this, especially in the ministry. I mean, you're talking about our big trucks. You're talking about doubling our cost. And a lot of people are saying that, you know, well, it didn't go up what you said it was going to yesterday. Well, they haven't bought yet. So the wholesale price jumped dramatically yesterday, but a lot of stations have not bought it yet. Therefore, they have not gone up that much. But when they go to buy and fill their tanks, they're going to be astounded where this thing's heading. Yeah, it's bad. We'll look more at the fuel, look at some fuel prices. Let's see what the market's doing tomorrow. Some other things. We'll take some time to do that, okay? Thank you for being on board. Thank you for being with us. Ask you to continue to pray for Jesse. Underwent spinal surgery to remove a tumor, and he's having some complications. And so please remember him, if you will, please. And then also continue to pray for Jacob, who's been on a ventilator. I ask you to remember him. Pray for families that are bereaved and ask God to show himself mighty for them. And then pray for all of those that that God did a work in their hearts during Share-a-thon, several that trusted Christ, and then several that made commitments, and pray the Lord will help them to see those through. Okay? Give them the strength it takes to see those things through. Okay? All right. Thank you so much for being on board. Thank you for being with us. God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask and pray that you'd help us. Lord, I pray that your will be accomplished, and Lord, that most of all, that we might be found faithful. And Lord, I pray that this is the last of the pandemic. And Lord, if it's not, Lord, would you help us? Would you help the believer to realize that we can't quit, that we can't stop serving you? Lord, that we have to continue, maybe in different means than we once did, but Lord, we have to continue, and the church has got to step up. The church has got to stand up. Lord, the church has got to be ready to go up, and so, Lord, help us, I pray. We plead the blood and ask these favors in Christ's name. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Until we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you is our prayer.